Stafford Mossy, you have now really scared us with everything that could go wrong and has gone wrong. And whenever we see the headlines, it's very hard for people who've put money into exchanges or put money into Bitcoin. Right. Is there any way of protecting yourself?
Yeah. So look, I think the advice that I would give folks, I mean, you've heard it out there, not, you know, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. You know, if you don't have it, it's not yours.
Not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Yeah, which means what?
Which means if your Bitcoin lives on an exchange, if it exists only on Valor, I mean, you have to log on to Valor, if you log on to Luno, you have to log on to whatever exchange, Coinbase, wherever you may be. The fact that the custodial aspect of your crypto is sitting on an exchange means you don't have any control. So what you need to do, and this is what I'm advising everyone to do, is number one, test your exchange. So there's two options. Number one, test your exchange, look at the transparency, ask the questions. Farzam at Valor has done a very good job on Twitter. Go take a look at his Twitter account, explaining exactly how this works. And then take a look at what Luno's doing. They've done the exact same thing, and go and investigate. And if you still have a level of discomfort, or you want to try this, and I suggest everyone does this, is take your keys, take your Bitcoin off the exchange. And what I mean by that is you can get a hot wallet, or you can get a cold wallet. A hot wallet is you take your keys off and it sits in a software-based internet connection wallet. So there's lots of wallets around. You can go do the Bitcoin wallets, go look at them around, and you can send it to that wallet. But if that wallet sits in your possession and that's where your Bitcoin lives, all the risks, it's like having all your money versus in the bank, it's in your pocket and you're walking around with it. If you get mugged, your money's gone. If you lose it, your money's gone. So both sides of the coin has risks. If your money's on an exchange, there's these inherent risks that we see now.
John T. Sachs and the guys at Jeltic,
yes,
they are partners of ours, so full disclosure. They have been marketing something about having a wallet to make sure that it's completely safe. And I don't think they're an exchange. So
No, they may just be a piece of software that allows you to transcend your Bitcoin too. See, you can send your Bitcoin anywhere in the world. So you can send it to, now a hot wallet is a wallet like I've described. It's a piece of software that allows you to securely store your Bitcoin keys on your phone, wherever that may be. That's still connected to the internet.
But the phone is a problem, as you say. Yeah, if you get mugged, it's gone.
Exactly. Well, in any one of these circumstances, yeah. But a hot wallet is connected to the internet and it's subject to hacks. You can get hacked and things can disappear, etc. Then you get a cold wallet. And cold wallet is close on secure as you can get. It's nothing's 100% secure, but it's as close as you. A cold wallet is something like a Ledger. There's a company called Ledger. So people can Google it, L-E-D-G-E-R. There's a Ledger device. It looks like a USB stick. Mm-hmm. You get it in the mail and you open up a Ledger account. You unlock this device and then you send your Bitcoin to this device. And your Bitcoin lives on this little USB stick in your hand. And I won't go through the machinations of the security. It's very simple. Step-by-step guide. Go to their website, Ledger's website, and then put your keys on that. Now, what I would do is challenge an exchange is not to draw your money out. Send your money to an air-gapped cold wallet. And that is a physical device not connected to the internet that contains your Bitcoin. And that's incredible.
Then you know it's there. It can't be hacked. Nobody can get hold of it.
Yeah, but it can't be stolen.
Unless they get your keys.
Or you can lose it. And those are the arguments that exchanges have versus that model, right? If it's yours and you own it, then all the risk sits on your shoulders.
Inverted, the people who've put money and bought Bitcoin through FTX, mm-hmm, with all the chaos that's happening there, mm-hmm, is it likely that they could lose their cash?
I looked at the creditor sheet and like 80% of the debtors book is owned by, I think, I don't know, like 50 people. So I think those people are owed over 4.5 billion is my understanding right now. And I think what they have cash on hand inside of FTX, I think it's just over a billion. So it looks, just on what we know right now, that it's highly unlikely that you're going to get your money back. So the folks that have lost on FTX, I think, I don't know how long this is going to take. Because you remember the FTX thing, and this is a weird thing. The FTX thing is not illegal. It's fraudulent, but it's not illegal because it is a business. The exchange is listed in the Bahamas. And in the Bahamas, there's no regulatory framework to protect you.
Well, apparently there is, but they haven't been following it.
Maybe there is, but I feel that his level of confidence is sky high because he's in a jurisdiction that I don't know if there's any extradition laws. I don't know, but you know, you could argue that a lot of what he was doing here was allowed.
Well, certainly the stuff that I've been reading on Bloomberg and elsewhere is it's not allowed. That they've in tried the to in the Bahamas, they've tried to have regulations there, but he just ignored everything, and he was very close to the people in government.
That's the other thing, how much money he gave the Democratic Party.
Well, and, yeah, quite apart from what he was giving the people in the Bahamas, what he gave to the people in the United States is scandalous as well.
But if you look at the headlines, right, the headlines are very, it's interesting, the headlines are very cozy about him. I mean, it's just incredible how friendly they are towards him. The headlines are not bad. I thought that we'd be screaming for this guy's head, but we're not seeing that. We're seeing very New York Times, the headlines are, I feel they're not as aggressive as they should be.
Well, maybe they aren't representing the people who've lost money.
Perhaps not.
And if you are a South African and you've put money into FTX.
That's gone. In my opinion, that's gone.
Okay. Just write it off. If you've put money into Luno or Valor.
I think you're safe. I like our exchanges. I like the people that are running them because I know some of the human beings. I know the management teams. I know the technologists in them. These are stand-up businesses trying to do the right thing. And they are opening themselves up on a voluntary basis to be regulated. They are registering with the proper licensing bodies. They are doing all the things that are not even asked of them. And I think that's a good thing. The challenge with exchanges, even though they may try to do everything, is I always say, don't take a look at their shareholding, don't take a look at their guarantee of funds that they claim, their proof of reserves, take a look at their liquidity pooling. Take a look at how they're enabling liquidity on the exchanges and who's backing that liquidity. And I think that's where you've got to scratch. And that's where we're seeing in this industry at the very edge, the leverage that's happening. Leverage upon leverage upon leverage. And it's usually to do with these liquidity partnerships. So yeah, they, as much as they want to be good human beings and they want to do the right thing, I think, are they exposed from a contagion perspective, from ripples outside of our borders? That we can only answer fully once we understand who their liquidity backers are, who's providing liquidity for every single one of the tokens that they have, for the Bitcoin that they have, the Ether, the Solana, all these crypto assets. Who's backing that? Where's the liquidity coming from? I think if we understand that a little bit better, that will give us an understanding of where they sit. I mean, I've disclosed some aspects of little that I know. I don't know if that's of concern. And I don't know if there'll be an FTX fallout all the way down here with these folks here. I don't think so, but let's see.
Stafford, to close off with, you are a Bitcoin maximalist, as you told us. Given the impact that there has been on prices of cryptocurrencies, all cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, as a result of this fallout, is this a buying opportunity?
Personal opinion? Yes. Can it go lower? Yes. But I look at Bitcoin from a speculative perspective as something that you own for no less than 5 years. If you're going to own Bitcoin, own it for no less than 5 years. If you're going to put money into Bitcoin and look at it every month and trade it and pull it, etc., I'm not a trader. I'm a pathetic trader. I tried it for 6 months in my life and I'm really bad at it. And I've learned that betting on the market overall in the long term, the general trajectory over years is always up because I'm just not good enough. So for Bitcoin, I think it's not dissimilar. I would not put my money into anything else. I think if your money is in Ethereum, and you know, all of these other things out
there. Dogecoin.
Dogecoin. I think just if you did an S1 filing on Ethereum tomorrow, because Ethereum is a security. Ethereum is not a commodity. There's a bunch of developers that's a founder. They've taken the code and they've done things to the code as a unit, etc. That is an organization. And if they did an S1 filing and you took a look at how much does Vitalik Buterin and his cronies own, what's the leverage that they have amongst themselves, how are they doing things in there? I don't know if Ethereum today would pass an S1 filing. That's how you got to look at it. Whereas Bitcoin has no issuer. As we sit here, blocks are being mined every 10 minutes and it continues no matter what the price is. It's immutable. It doesn't care for you and I. It's mathematical. It will always be there. It's immutable. Cannot be switched off. It has an issuance that is completely sovereign. And it's got a leak of just over 1.something% a year. It's got a finite supply. It's freedom. Ask the lady in in Afghanistan today that can't get paid because she can't work because of the Taliban, but she's getting monetary value through Bitcoin. Ask the people in Turkey sitting with the lira today. Ask the people in Argentina. Ask the people in Venezuela. Ask the people in Canada when the truck protest happened and they were deplatformed. Ask Kanye West that no matter what your belief is in his anti-Semitism, I'm not buying that, but he got deplatformed. There was a day he woke up and he couldn't access his multiple billions because an institute could deplatform him. That's a very dangerous thing. Bitcoin solves the problem. People say then, what's the utility of Bitcoin? Bitcoin is meant for freedom. Bitcoin's utility is the movement of value instantaneously across the planet without any intermediary, more secure than we've ever seen before.
Kathy Wood from ARK has reiterated
the $1 million a coin.
That Bitcoin will trade at $1 million by 2030.
I think that's conservative. I think it's the most undervalued asset class in the entire world. I think it's the most misunderstood. I do not think you should buy Bitcoin when you get in it. I think you should do your research. It took me 2.5 years to understand it, and I come from a technological background. It took me 2.5 years to understand Bitcoin. I made mistakes. I tried to trade it. I thought, okay, wait, Bitcoin's interesting. The blockchain's more interesting. And then I got into blockchain. Then I was into the altcoin world with Ethereum, and that looked more interesting. And I've circled right back again, which is usually the path that a lot of people take back into, wait a minute, Bitcoin. It is the original. It is a gift. It is something that is not going to go away. And it doesn't care for politics. It doesn't care for FTX. It doesn't care for Luno, Valor. It doesn't care about anyone. It just does what it does every day, being mined in an immutable, sensor-resistant way. And it is a substrate that humanity's been given that, in my opinion, equals the wheel and fire. It is incredible. But when people listen to this and they respond without doing the work, and it does require the 10,000 hours, go buy the Bitcoin Standard Book and read it. Start there. Go buy the Fiat Standard Book, read it, start there. Read Layered Money. Read The Sovereign Individual. Read these things. Don't buy. Don't speculate. Everyone wants a get rich quick version of everything. That
without
was FTX.
Doing the work. Yeah.
FTX is a personification of that. This is not that. This is something that is extraordinary. And I've seen it 3 times in my career. I saw it when the internet didn't have a user interface. I saw it when I touched free and open source software. The third instance is when I touched Bitcoin for the first time. It is, and the problem with Bitcoin maximalists like myself is that we almost sound religious in a way when we speak about it. It's because we don't know how much more we can emphasize the importance this has for humanity. It is incredible. Will it kill banks? Absolutely not. Will it destroy governments? Absolutely not. But what it gives the individual in the street out there is the ability to send money to anyone in the world in a frictionless way that they could never have done before. It was impossible before. It gives someone that's leaving Ukraine when the bombs are flying to take, when the bank, there's a bank run and the bank's saying you can't get more than $100 a day, that person can take all their wealth and shove it down their throats, put it in their heads. If you can remember your key, you can flee with all your money in your head. And if you take a look at where the world is today, if you take a look at what stimulus was given from a Federal Reserve and central bank perspective, we have more dollars in circulation today. I think more than 30-35% of dollars in circulation today were printed in the last 24 months. That's not sustainable.
You know what I find real interesting as a closing off? I was reading today Nouriel Roubini's view on 10 years hence.
Right.
And among the asset classes that he says you should be buying for 10 years hence is gold.
Right.
But Bitcoin, from everything I've read, which you've pointed me towards, appears to be digital gold because it isn't in the same way as gold. You can't just create it out of nothing.
Right.
You cannot be an alchemist of other metals. Bitcoin is a similar thing. You can't create it out of nothing, and there is a limit or a cap to the amount of gold, digital gold, Bitcoin, that can be developed. So why would a guy like that, who gets gold, really not get Bitcoin?
I think when you come from a traditional finance perspective and you do look at it, I don't know how much work he's done. I don't know. And also the problem that we have right now is all this crypto noise. This crypto noise does muddy the water. So we are in the valley of despair right now. You know, the trough of delusionment. That's the phase that the industry is in. But at the end of the day, no matter how many Roubinis shout, no matter how many crypto exchanges fall over, No matter how many speculative shit coins pop, altcoins pop up. No matter how pink coins, blue coins, it doesn't matter. You know what Bitcoin does? What it does every day, every 10 minutes. It mines its blocks, it does its issuance, and it doesn't care. There's 21 million of it. It's mathematical scarcity. It's not going to go away. It cannot be switched off. It doesn't care. And that's what always, with all this noise, at the end of the day, Bitcoin just sits there and does what it does. And the innovation around it is profound. And the amount of human potential that's cascading into Bitcoin to make it better, not it itself, to innovate around, example, the Lightning Network, the layer twos and threes and what's happening, it's very, very exciting. And you're going to see imminently in the next 24 months, another big retailer, then another big retailer. And then you're going to see more utility spanning from it because people will keep discovering this. This is no different from when GeoCities was going crazy in the 90s with the internet. And people walked around there with newspaper publishers that said, the internet's a joke. Look, the websites fall over. To connect to the internet, you scream. It takes 2 weeks to download a video. You need a computer science degree to get the driver, the internet card driver working. Yeah, sure, it's fine. But don't ever bet against it. And don't bet against Bitcoin.
Stafford Marcy, it reminds me of the Silicon Valley startup credo, which is at first you're a joke, then you're a threat, and then afterwards it's obvious. Well, perhaps Stafford.
They build monuments to you.
Then they build monuments to you. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com. I almost said bitcoin.com, but Alec Hogg from biznews.com. Thanks, Alec. Stafford.